I hate waiting. There is nothing more mind-numbingly frustrating than waiting. Yesterday I was here at the church for Cookie Town, and Cookie Town got done. We had some other stuff yesterday afternoon. I got done finally about, a little after 5, and I had to get down to meet a wedding couple. They wanted to meet with me. They're getting married next June, and wanted to know if we could meet and talk, and I said, sure, and decided to set an appointment to meet with them at 6 p.m. at Starbucks on the plaza on a Saturday in December. When I got done here after 5, I thought, you know, I better head on down just to make sure I can get a table. I usually always arrive early to make sure I can secure a table where the couple and I can sit and talk. I walked into the Starbucks down there. And at Starbucks, they do this thing. My daughter works for Starbucks. I've seen this. They take your order. They write it on the cup, right? They what you want. If you want a venti Starbucks double shot on ice with Ristretto shots, add the 6 shot, toffee nut instead of classic, coconut milk instead of regular, no whip, no foam, light ice. Isn't that what you order? Okay, anyway. They write it all down on the cup. And they go over to the person who's making them. Now, the person making the coffee is called a barista. And they set the cup next to the big coffee machine. And then they go back and they take the next order. And the next person orders their coffee. And they go and they set the second cup there. And they keep putting them in order so the barista can just grab the next cup, read it, and make it. As I walked into the Starbucks in the plaza, I kid you not, not making this up, not hyperbole, 30 cups were lined up around the countertop. 30 people standing there waiting for, the place was packed, wall-to-wall people. So I knew it was gonna be a long wait. I ordered my coffee. It took about 35 minutes before I got my coffee. Luckily, I was waiting. I was there to stay. I felt bad for the folks who just thought they'd drop in real quick, get a coffee. But I hate waiting. There's just something so useless feeling about it. Just standing in line, shuffling to the next spot, waiting for something to happen. It isn't that I'm impatient. I'm not one of those children that has trouble waiting until Christmas morning to open presents. After all, that's when you're supposed to open them. It's that I feel useless about it. Like I could be doing something else, accomplishing something. It's not that I'm a busybody. I enjoy lazy times, sure, but lazy times when I'm being lazy and non-productive where I want to be lazy and non-productive, not while standing in line at the DMV. It's one of the reasons I do like smartphones. Now I feel that at least while I'm standing in line, I can check emails, I can send texts, I can read something, I can scan the weather or check the news. I can watch Amy DeCourcy's live Facebook videos. I can at least feel productive. But just waiting, standing, not moving, not working, not getting anything accomplished, it's just disheartening and depressing. When my daughter was 2 years old, we lived in Omaha, and we lived right down the street from what is without a doubt the worst Walmart on the planet. Absolute worst. The kind of customer service that made you just want to give up on whatever you had come in for and just go, I'll live without it. It'll be easier. I had to return something one day, and I was dreading it. I knew what was going to happen. The service at the customer service desk would be slow and unresponsive and difficult because they always were. But it had to be done, so I entered the store with my active 2-year-old in tow, and of course, there was a line. So we waited. And waited. And waited. As the one customer service clerk that seemed to be available helped each customer in front of us as slowly and convolutedly as she could. Until finally, praise Jesus, we reached the front of the line and the clerk looked at me and said those dreaded words, I'll be with you in just a moment. And so we waited some more. When something came to me, I did not need to wait and do nothing. I could do something while I waited. You see, while standing in this infernal line for 20 plus minutes, while the clerk moved at a glacial pace, my 2-year-old had morphed into a disgruntled chimpanzee, intent on either clawing my eyes out or flinging poo if the environment didn't become more conducive to her wants and needs very quickly. As I grappled with her while the clerk decided which return cart the remote control car that had just been returned by the previous customer should go into, is that toy or is that automotive? I had an epiphany. I looked at my daughter, whom I love with all my heart. I smiled when I saw in her some of the same traits that I have. I lovingly swept her hair back from her cherubic face. And I let her loose on the customer service desk. Be free, small monkey. Wreak thou havoc. As my simian child dismantled the cash register, suddenly there were 2 or 3 clerks that popped out of the woodwork to assist me. Waiting was over. The church is waiting. Advent is specifically a time of waiting. The church waits in breathless anticipation to celebrate the coming of the Christ child, a revelatory celebration. We've practiced over 2,000 times. We wait and wait and wait until Christ dawns upon us and the Christ child comes once again. As I told the children, in part we do this to practice our waiting for Christ's return, knowing that Christ will come back. We practice obedient, faithful waiting each Christmas season. The problem with this is the Christmas season is over fairly fast. It really does little to test our patience. You should have seen the faces of grandparents and parents yesterday when I announced to the kids that Christmas was only 15, today 14, days away. Those widened eyes, that cold, beaded sweat. Where has the time gone? We practice our waiting within a finite time frame, for we know exactly when this season of anticipation shall come to an end, when we shall gather to see the babe in manger one more time, and then, of course, begin dismantling the paraments and the regalia of the season as we prepare for whatever it is that comes next. This season is wonderful, and the anticipatory grandeur is exciting, but it ends quickly. Meanwhile, we wait for Jesus and wait for Jesus and wait for Jesus to come back. And it's been 2,000 years and still we wait. This season of waiting never seems to end. We just wait. And as we wait, we become frustratingly frozen by the waiting as it goes on and on and on. Unlike our relatively short Advent season, which only covers 4 Sundays, this waiting stretches out indeterminably. The scriptures try to buck us up for it. They try to prepare us for it. Try to encourage us, inspire us to hold on, keep waiting, be faithful, be patient. Therefore, James calls out to us across the millennia, be patient until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. James is trying to encourage us. He brings up the farmer who patiently watches the ground, waiting for his crops to begin creeping up through the dirt, who tends to the field and cares for the field and is there when the harvest is ready. But then he does something at the end, doesn't he? Kind of sneaks it in on us. If you're not paying attention, you might not see it. At the end, he adds a word to patience. He says, suffering and patience. Ugh. All this waiting becomes burden as we slip into some hold-induced stupor. Instead of being an active presence of God's will and purpose in the world, we simply shuffle in line, waiting. We have mistaken patience for pausing. We find ourselves simply standing still, afraid that if we actually are out doing something, we might somehow miss Jesus when he comes back, as if Jesus would not swing by and pick you up wherever you are. Yes, we are called to wait patiently and faithfully for the coming of Jesus again, but that is not an idle waiting. We have work to do. Fields to harvest, grace to spread, love to imbue, forgiveness to proffer. It is a long list that we are supposed to be accomplishing. Somewhere in 2,000 years of waiting, our forward momentum has slowed, and too often we find ourselves stuck in neutral, saying, well, I don't know if we want to start that. I mean, Jesus is going to be back any minute. You know, and then all this stuff is going to be different. We hear the promise from Isaiah. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like the deer, the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. Then the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. And we think, that sounds delightful. And so we sit down and we fold our hands in our lap and we wait. When what we are actually called to do is work toward that glorious result, to get up and move toward that eventual end, not to plop down and simply wait here for the coming of kingdom of God to reach us, but to get up and to race toward it, working and striving to make that day become a reality for someone today. What did our call to worship talk about? Executing justice for the oppressed, giving food to the hungry, setting the prisoner free, opening the eyes of the blind, lifting up those that are bowed down, watching over the stranger, upholding the orphan and widow. We have work to do. And when we do it, when we get up and start doing, and we see glimpses of that coming reality break forth into our existence now, we realize more than ever the dawn is going to break soon. The Lord has come near. And we wait for that moment, that glorious moment, in active participation for that glorious day. We do not idly hover until Jesus comes to us, but we actively wait, doing God's will, that God might come for all of God's children that day. We wait and we do. We do the love and the hope and the joy and the peace that prepare the way for Jesus to come again. May this Advent season not be a finite moment on our yearly journey, but may it be a jumping off place to set our hearts in motion to do the will of God as we wait for him to come again. Amen.